And we give thanks to God for another good morning that He's given us to look at His Word and just to link it up to what we looked at when we last spoke. We're speaking of sonship. And one of the things that you will understand is that God is after sons and God is after adopting children. And it was for His great pleasure that He had sons, and that He brought, first of all, He brought Adam, He brought mankind, and the Bible tells us that He made mankind in His image and likeness, and He gave them dominion over the physical space, over the earth, over the water, over the land, over every animal, over every creeping thing, over every plant. And then He made man a living soul. And when that living soul was always living in the garden, he was only told not to eat of only one tree, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you see, the serpent came in and deceived the man and deceived the woman, and the man rebelled. And when they partook of that fruit, then they became slaves of the devil. They lost their authority, and God needed to send another son to come and redeem mankind, to come and redeem Adam. So He sent the second Adam, the second and the last Adam, who came as the seed of the woman, and He came to crush the seed of the serpent. Remember God, when He was chasing them away, He cast the snake and said, I shall put enmity between her seed and your seed, and you will bruise his feet, but he shall crush your head. So the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent. And this is what happens on Calvary and on Golgotha, where the seed of the woman crushes the head of the serpent. And so what we see is that from that onset, from that declaration, when God had already declared that the seed of the woman, from that onset, the serpent already started to wage war against the seed of God and was always looking for the son, always looking for the son. When will this son of God come? And so on the day of baptism, when God announced that this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased, we can see that the devil follows him, and you know, as he's led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil follows him and has to question, if you are the son of God, you know, if you are the son of God, tell these stones to turn into bread. And if you are the son of God, you know, jump from this high place. And if you jump, then he has commanded that his angels will take charge over you, you know. And then he also tells him, I've given you all these things. I will give you all these kingdoms only if you worship me, you know, only if you worship me. So you see that the devil was looking for this son, was trying to identify this son. But you see the mystery and the wisdom of God, that God was not just content with having only Christ as his only son, having only Jesus as his only son, but he had desired to bring many sons into glory. It was for his good pleasure that we are adopted by Jesus Christ, you know, into his family. And this one we've been able to see in Ephesians 1:5 and also in Hebrews chapter 2, where we see that it brought God great pleasure to adopt sons and to have sons. And the Bible says Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers. Why? Because he himself became a partaker of flesh and blood. He also took on our nature. He also took on flesh and blood, that we also might be partakers of the glory of his glory. And I gave you the example that we are brought into the Godhead. We are brought into divine nature. We are brought into to be part of God's family. Just like you can think of a government, where there's a government, where there's a king who is a president, or and then we have the princes, then we have the governors. So what God does is that he just does not want to share his to be the only one who has that, who has this glory, but he also wanted we men who become his sons to partake of the same glory. And this glory, he gives us our area of administration. You can think of, when you think of the rulers, the powers, the principalities, all these heavenly beings, they have thrones. You understand? The Bible says there were thrones in heaven. You know, they have seats of rulership. They have places where they administer their authority and their dominion. Likewise, also, God also wanted man to administer, to have a throne, to have a dominion. And where was the dominion of man? On the earth. And so, when man exercises his dominion on the earth, he reflects the glory of God. Because this earth, as we know it, is a reflection of the heavens, is a mirror image of what is in the heavens. That is why you see on the earth men sit on thrones. Why? Because even in heaven, God sits on a throne. You know, there are things that we do that are just a reflection of who God is. So the same dominion, the same authority that God exercises, that's why he says, pray that let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means the same way that God exercises his authority, the same way that he exercises his rulership, the same way that he leads, the same way that he has power, is the same way that he also wanted the sons of God to exercise authority and dominion on the earth. Now, the first son of God that God put, the Bible says, Adam, the son of God. When you look at the genealogy of Jesus, it says, and Adam, the son of God, the first son of God that God placed on the earth, failed. And anyone who comes after the image of Adam, and remember, Adam was not even his name. Adam meant mankind. God blessed Adam. Adam meant mankind. So everyone that is of the seed of man, then is under the failure of Adam. And when Adam sinned, the Bible says all of us sinned, and sin entered into the world and death came through it. But then when this new seed of the woman came, when Christ came, he did not carry the sin of Adam, and he came in as the second Adam, and that means he came in as a second mankind or as a new creation. You see, that's why when the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come, and all things are of God. That means that this new creation that is on the earth, this new type of man, this new type of Adam, a second creation that came on the earth through Christ, it is for those who believe him and those who are born again. That's why it says, except a man be born again, be born of the Spirit, be born of the water and of the Word. Being born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And what is this kingdom of God? It is the kingdom that God wants us, and that's why it's to exercise that dominion on the earth, and to bring his government on the earth as sons. Now, the Bible says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I reasoned like a child. But now when I have become a man, I put childish ways away. That means that when we come into the kingdom of God, we are born children. And that's why the Bible says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk by which you might grow in the Word. Now, the child needs milk. The child needs to be taught milk. The child needs to be fed milk. The child cries. The child messes themselves. The child is carnal. The child is still struggling with sin. The child still needs to be taught. The child still needs to be disciplined. The child still needs to be told, come at this time, do this, do this. The Bible says when we are children, we are put under tutors and governors. We are put under custodians. We are put under trustees. And we are not different from slaves, even though we are the owners of all things. But you see, when you grow up, when you start to mature, then you no longer need to be told to brush your teeth. You know, when your child is growing, when they are young, they struggle with brushing. They don't want to brush. You know, like you can see that struggle. But then as you grow, no one needs to tell you now that you need to brush your teeth. Why? Because you have already grown in maturity. There are things that as you grow, as you see in your maturity, you'll realize that you don't even need a program for you to have a commitment of prayer, for you to have a commitment of study of the word, for you to have a commitment of fasting. These are things that come with your maturity. Because you don't, right now, if you're an adult, your father is not going to tell you how to run your home. No. He already expects that by virtue of your age, you already know that these things are already ingrained in you. These things are part of you. They are part of your culture. They are part of your commitment. And when you find that you're lagging in them, then you need to ask yourself, have I really grown? Have I really become? Have I really come into maturity? And this is a place where we need to ask God, because the Bible tells us that creation, the creature, has been in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because it was subjected to futility, not of its own accord. But you see, it is when the sons of God come on the earth, when they come on the scene, that the creation shall be liberated. That means that the problems that we see in our world are waiting for sons to come into the scene. They are waiting for mature sons to come and liberate it. The problems that you see, you think of Gideon, when Gideon was crying and he was asking, oh God, where are our fathers? Where are the miracles that our fathers told us? You know, we are just this weak people. We are being defeated, you know, by the Midianites, and they are taking away everything that we have. And then God says, oh, you mighty warrior. And he said, no, don't call me that. Why? Because the problems were waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The challenges that you see, the challenges, the sicknesses that come, you know, the attacks that are come are waiting for that version of you to come out, for that manifestation, for that revelation, for that being made manifest. Unless you stand as a son, you see, Goliath was there until David had to come. And Goliath, the Bible tells us that for 40 days he had taunted the armies of Israel, and he will every day come and shout and say, give me a man that I will fight. You sons of Saul, give me a man that I will fight. And if I defeat you, you all become our slaves. Until David appeared, until the Son of God, until one that was anointed by the Spirit of God. Remember, by this time, David had already been anointed. But you see, when he comes to see his brothers ask him, where did you leave those few sheep with? Have you just come to mock us, to make sport of us? And he decided not to hear that, not to hear that. Why? Because he knew there is a covenant that he has. He knows what it means to be anointed. You can remember how he deals with Saul. He says that how his heart smote him, that he touched the anointed of the Lord. How, and even asked, where, O you hills, where were you when the anointed of the Lord fell? He had an understanding of someone that carries the presence of God, of someone that carries the Spirit of God, of the maturity, of the mature sons, that we do not just fall. We mature sons, when we've grown in maturity, we stand in the gap. We face opposition. We break the barriers. We speak to situations. We speak to cancers and they melt, they disappear. You know, we speak to dead bones and they come back to life. Elijah was told, speak, prophesy to these dry bones, prophesy to them. And the Bible says there was a rattling noise. The wind came and bone came together, and ligament and sinews and then the muscles, and then the blood, and then the skin. You can imagine how each and everything comes back together when we speak the word of God, when we prophesy, when we declare, when we take our place as sons of God. The challenges in your family, the challenges in your life are just waiting for you to come. It's an opportunity for you to manifest that you are a son. It is actually a test. Because even Jesus, when he was told he was a son, the devil had to come and test him. Are you sure you are really the son? Are you the one? The demons knew. They said, oh, no. Son of God, what have you come to do with us before our time? When you stand in your place as a mature son, when you stand in your place in maturity, then even, not only creation, but even the demons are aware that a son of God has come, and they have to obey, they have to obey, they have to leave, they have to scatter. Why? Because the Bible says, resist the devil, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Every blessing that we need, every authority that we need, every answer that we need, every breakthrough that we are trusting God for is just limited to our growth. As you grow, then God feels that he is able now to release this to us. That which is still lacking to us is just because we've not grown to it. The place of our prayer, the place of our fasting, the place of our commitment is to tell us, God, grow us, is to grow in intimacy, is to grow in understanding, is to grow in knowledge. But you see, there are things that God will not commit to children. No matter how much he loved us, no matter how much we are beloved, no matter how much we desire as children, there are things that God will not commit. Jesus told his disciples, I have many things to tell you, but I cannot tell you now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he shall guide you. He shall lead you into all truth. You shall be led. As many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There is a place of leading. You know, Peter says that when I was a child, when you grow up, when you're old, then you shall stretch your hand forward and someone will lead you. When you're young, you go anywhere you want. But you see, when you get into the things of God, it's no longer about I. It's no longer as a child, oh, I want candy, oh, I want this. Oh, God, I want a new car. Oh, God, I want this. But it is more of like, God, here is my hand. Lead me. Where do you want me to go? It is in our humility, in our submission to the leading of God, do we also grow in maturity. And God does not speak loudly. God does not speak loudly. He speaks very gently and softly. He speaks in our thoughts. It's just a thought of God. Oh, have you done this? And if you learn to be sensitive, if you learn to obey, then the Bible says, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. That means that as God trusts you in the little instructions, the little day-to-day instructions, then he can trust you with big things. He can trust you with eternal riches. He can trust you with the faithfulness of eternal riches. God is calling us to a place of faithfulness. A place of faithfulness. That is why even as a child, when you send them to the shop, you know what amount of money they can handle. But as they grow, you can even give them more. As they grow, you can send them with checks. As they grow, you can even give them your ATM. Why? Because you know that this one, even not a single coin will be lost, will not be accounted for. Yes, we say we are kingdom financiers, but can God trust us with wealth? That the wealth will not take us away from him? That our responsibilities will not take us away from God? that the children that God gives us will not be a stumbling block, will not take us away from God, that the blessings of wives, of husbands will not take us away from God. There are many people who cried out for marriage. They cried out, and when the marriage came, it took them farther away from God. They lost their intimacy. They lost their place of fellowship. They lost their place of oneness with God, because those things became their idols. They took that place of God. Is God still number one in your life? Can God trust you that no matter what I bring to you, no matter what I give you, no matter what blessings I can give you, they cannot take my place away from you? Who takes our priority? Who is number one? Who takes our first time in the morning? Who takes our first commitment? Who is number one? This is the place of sons. This is the place of sons. God is calling us to deeper places. God is calling us to the places where sons are given responsibility. The government shall be upon his shoulder. God wants to give us governments. God wants to give us nations. God wants to give us territories. God wants to give us the entire globe, the entire cosmos. He wants to give us not only our time, but also generations and generations to come, as long as he tarries. Abraham was made a father of many nations. Not just that of his time, but also of today. The Bible says he willed the heavens and the earth to him. The whole earth was given to one man, because he was told, as far as your eyes can see. And he not only saw us, but he also saw the day of Christ. And he saw that seed, and he realized that he has been given everything. And that's why even the Christ has to come through Abraham. He's a seed of Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. What are the things that God has been communicating to you and me? What are the places that he wants us to walk in? What are the visions? What are the areas of strength? What are the pictures? What are the things that he wants us to do? Where are the places we have not obeyed? These are the things we need to ask God to reveal. Our places of disobedience, the little foxes. Our disobediences that hinder us from growing, that hinder us from taking the next level, that hinder us from experiencing grace, that keep our creation around us in bondage because they are waiting, they are eagerly awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. May God give us understanding. May God give us wisdom. May God give us strength. May God have mercy on our weaknesses and our failures. May God strengthen us. May God give us insight. He's still calling us. God wants us to be made manifest, to be revealed. Creation is in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'll stop there, my brother, and if God places something in your heart, you're welcome. Okay. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us and challenging us and calling us to a place of commitment, to a place of growth, to a place of maturity. And indeed, where we have failed, may your mercy and grace prevail. May we experience a rebirth. May we experience a refreshing. May we experience a strength, oh God, a new strength, oh God, because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, oh God. It's a grace-empowered growth. It is a leading that is by your Spirit, even into sonship, oh God. Reveal to us the places that we need to tweak and show us the path of righteousness. Lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Father, by the authority that you've given us, we rebuke every devil, we rebuke every sickness, we rebuke every demonic attack, we rebuke every work of the devil. We come against it in the name of Jesus, of our families, of our church, of our children. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus in our workplaces. And Father, we thank you even in this city, in this territory, every work of the devil, every blinding force, we bind it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that indeed we shall walk into victory. We are walking into victory. We are seeing increase all around us. We are seeing multiplied grace. Everything that we touch turns to gold, oh God. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. Thank you that the service is blessed. That indeed we see men come from all around us. New faces, those that you have been calling. The veils are broken, the veils are removed, because in Christ, the veil is taken away. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning and day ahead. Bye-bye.